That Edge is BrisNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey staff, detailed pedigree data, exclusive Bris pace, speed, and class ratings, free membership, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BrisNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Include is a sire four stakes winner already this year, the most recent. Miss Inclusive, winner of the $100,000 Parks Oaks. Year after year, he has sent a steady procession of hard-hitting stakes winners to the races. Among them, nine Grade 1 winners. Miss Inclusive, a $75,000 graduate of the OBS April sale. And she has posted two consecutive wins, never been off the board in six starts, and she's getting better with every start. Getting back to these nine Grade 1 winners is Include Betty, won the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose just last year. Panty Raid earned over $1 million. Include Me Out, nearly $1 million. Her Smile won the Grade 1 Priors. Cash Included, the Grade 1 Oak Leaf Breeders' Cup. Wouldn't go on because Include sires runners that compete at the highest level. The Grade 1 winner himself, Include, $10,000 live fold to Mr. and Mrs. Burr and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Watch for the Include yearlings at the upcoming sales. Check the website at airdriestud.com. And keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the horse capital of the world, it's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Slim Sam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Secretariat that went to play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's Bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Good morning, and we are here once again in the HBPA office at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris-Lexington Road, or the Lexington-Paris Road, depends on which end you start on. And Jackie's not here this morning. Jackie's playing hooky. Our daughter had a little operation, a little minor kind of an operation yesterday, so Jackie's home helping her out instead of here helping me out. So you know where her priorities lie. Michael Blowen is here with me this morning. He even sprang for a $10 racing form. Oh, boy, I tell you what, of course, he'll write that off to old friends, I know.
I should, you're right. If I had knowledge of money, I would do that.
Well, you can maybe even pinhook it.
Yeah, pinhook the racing form.
Pinhook the daily racing form.
I still got four races left.
Have you? What are we going to do today? Well, we're going to have some people stop by and give us their Preakness picks. I'm going to ask Michael here in just a second. Lee Rossi, who trains here at the Thoroughbred Center now, Lee used to be a big-time trainer out on the West Coast and used to play football for, was it Arizona Rossi or
Arizona State?
Arizona State. He probably smacked
because he named one of his horses Cush after Frank Cush, the football coach.
Okay.
That's how you can remember that.
Well, I would never have known, having never met Mr. Cush.
There you go.
But anyway.
Very famous.
Cush. Lee was, you know, he trained some Grade 1 stakes runners.
Yeah, we had one. We retired one of his horses.
I tease him all the time. You know, he's from Arizona.
Yes.
And I told him he moved here for the weather. This was
a great guy.
Last winter when it was about 5 degrees or something, he was complaining a little bit over there. Well, anyway, he's going to stop by. Don Combs said he would stop by a little bit later on. Of course, you know, I can't remember. I know he won the Bluegrass and he won the Kentucky Derby with Dust Commander, but I don't know if he ran that horse in the Preakness or not. And, you know, I should know that. You think Don can remember? He's getting about my age, you know.
Yeah, but I think he would remember that.
Well, we can always go look at his tack room up here. He's got pictures on the wall. And maybe Charlie McDaniel show up and Mike Cameron and... if Patrick Sliney shows up, I'll get him Patrick coming. Whoever wants to give me their winners, bring your own beer and a folding chair and stop by the HBPA office. And anyway, Tim Austed is here today from iHeartRadio. He's going to give us his pick, too. He doesn't know a damn thing about racing, but we'll take it.
It doesn't mean he can't pick a winner.
Well, that's right. He's got 11-1 shot there, Tim. So anyway, we got to get in touch with Steve Moody. I don't know what would be the best time to call Steve, you know, whenever we can get him from the, of course, he's the author of the Kentucky Handicap, a sheet that's published by Blood Stock Research Information Services. Great outfit. That's where I get most of my information. They kind of keep me from screwing up. As I said, Michael Blown is here from old friends. Dr. Brian Walridge, hopefully will have a fine time. Folding season's kind of winding down. Maybe he'll be able to stop by today.
Yeah, it'd be great to see him. We saw him this week. It's always great to see Dr. Waldridge.
You like him because he does all the vet work for free over to our place.
Well, more importantly, he's a good vet. I like the vet work he does because our horses always end up in much better shape, you know, after he's paid him a visit.
Yeah, maybe he can help us.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I take Lubricin.
Ah.
You know, those horse medications are really underrated. I advise everybody to go out and buy horse medications, even though it's probably your doctor would advise against it.
Let's see. What else can we do? Of course, the Preakness today, first run in 1873. Of course, they skipped some years down through there, and then they had to dig into record books. They found a race that was named the Preakness at that ran in New York, you know.
Yeah.
There was a gap in there for about 8 or 10 years, but they filled in the gap.
Nice.
Yeah, right.
Those historians. It's all who writes the history that...
Well, you know, it's kind of like me. At my age, I can talk about things and know that nobody's around to know whether I'm right or wrong anymore.
Yeah, but now they have the internet, and they're on there all the time saying, oh, you made a mistake. They just Google Ursel.
Google Ursel,
yeah,
and get the mistakes. Okay. Let's see. Joe Palmer wrote about Pimlico. We'll do something. The first Triple Crown winner to win the, the Preakness was Sir Barton. Maybe we can do a little bit on Sir Barton. And Man of War made his first start as a 3-year-old.
Now, Sarava used the Sir Barton as a prep to go on to the Belmont to beat Warrenblum in the ruin his Triple Crown chances.
Sarava is a Florida bred that won the Belmont Stakes. Kenny McPeak trained him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's over at Old Friends now. Not a very big horse, is he?
No. Yeah. No, he's not very big. He never won another race. And ironically, because, Bob Baffert, of course, trained Warrenblum, Bob ended up with him down in California.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Didn't move Kenny up any, huh?
No, he didn't. Much to Kenny's pleasure, I'm sure.
All right. Well, let me do. Let's see. I've almost killed a segment here. I can catch up. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and get your Preakness picks. Who do you like?
Well, I think Nyquist is clearly the best horse, but I'm not going to bet him because it's going to be too short a price. And if things turn a certain way, I think Exaggerate is going to love it. I mean, the forecast is for rain.
And yeah, his two of his best races, Santa Anita Derby, was in slop.
Mm-hmm. And loves it, Way.
Yeah.
And I talked to Kent yesterday about another horse we're trying to get to Old Friends that he used to ride. And so
who'd you talk to?
Kent DeSormo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he really likes, of course he would, but he really likes Exaggerate. His chances, he doesn't care what the conditions are. And he said if he had ridden him a little bit better in the Derby, they would have been a little closer. So
he's got enough money he can admit making a mistake.
Yeah, he's old enough, too.
Yeah.
He's won the Derby 3 times.
He's no Willie Hardtack.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Willie Hardtack would never admit a mistake, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah. I always wanted to ask him, you know, he didn't like to be called Willie to begin with. It was Bill.
Yes.
And I always wanted to ask him, so, Bill, Willie, in what spot of the race or what time in the race did you realize you'd screwed up, you know? But
yeah.
He rode, I was down at Gulfstream Park with Dixie Annis, and he rode two horses in one day for us. And I listened to the trainer, Jack Hodgins, give instructions, and he didn't pay any more attention to him than, you know, the guy in the next stall.
Yeah.
You know. And they both got beat, and I should have said something then, but, you know, I was young and scared.
I remember Jerry Bailey coming to the – when Cigar ran in the Massachusetts Handicap, Jerry Bailey coming into the paddock, and he goes right up to Bill Mott. He goes, I know. Break them on top and improve my position.
Yeah.
He said that was it.
Well, that's pretty mm-hmm. pretty simple
pretty
instructions.
Basic.
Pretty simple instructions to who are you going to try to beat him with? Exaggerate?
Well, yeah. I think Bob Baffert's horse has a shot too. But the thing is, you got to wait and see who's scratched here and what they're going to do with these turf races because there's a guaranteed pick 4 with a $2 million guaranteed pool.
Is that right?
Yeah. So if you can get get a horse that you can single in some of the early races, maybe you can go a little deeper in the Preakness and hope that Nyquist gets beat as a better. I hope, as a fan, I hope that he wins.
Yeah. You know, I stay away from those pick fours. I haven't picked four winners in 4 years, so, you know.
Well, neither have I, but if you can throw, in those bets, you can throw three or four in there.
Yeah.
You know. Pick and loses, I told you, that's my philosophy.
Well, I know, yeah, and betting them.
Yep. Ask Jack Smith. You know Jack? He runs Keep. We gotta have Jack on.
We'll
get him over. On. Anyway,
I've had a Keep guy on, but that was several years ago. So how long's Jack been with him?
I don't know. He's been with him since the beginning, I think, and now he's the head of it.
Oh, okay.
But he's my simulcasting pal.
Okay.
So yesterday we were over there, and I pre-bet a few things in the Preakness because I got to go to Fort Mitchell today and give a speech before a ladies' group.
Oh.
What timing? Is that crazy or what?
That's
you know, they called about 3 months ago. I didn't think about the date or anything. I just said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Now I got to drive to Fort Mitchell, talk to them, have a ladies' luncheon.
It's a luncheon.
Yes.
Oh, well, you'll be back in time to watch Preakness.
No, I know, but...
This I didn't complain. Good God. Isn't that awful? You're going to go over there and pass the hat.
I'll pass the hat.
Throw some money in that.
This is true. This is true. Maybe I'll replay this show instead of talking. What do you think? We'll do a replay of the program, and we'll talk about there's a couple of horses, depending on the scratches and depending on, you know, I imagine that they'll keep the races on the grass no matter what, but that can get pretty soggy.
You're not talking Preakness now. You're talking pick four.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm talking about trying to make a dime or two.
All right. That's about all you bet, too, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I worry a little bit about Nyquist because I'm looking at the PPs. The horse on the end, he's in the three hole, and the horse in the two hole's got speed, and the horse in the four hole's got speed, so... You got speed horses on each
and
side.
He's going to get a lot of stuff in his face.
Yeah, he will.
It's going to be nasty.
Yeah.
And I think he probably has enough character and intelligence to handle all that, but he might not. And at 3-5, I don't want to take a chance.
Okay.
I'd certainly take him at 6-5 or 7-5 or 8-5. But
I can't see much of anything, you know, that that really.
There's a lot of talk about that outside horse that Todd Pletcher has. And.
Yeah.
It hasn't done a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's lightly
Stradivari.
Stradivari, yeah. He hadn't run but about four times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three. He's won his last 3-0 in the last race by 14 lengths.
Yeah, they always like that.
But he's never run in the stakes.
No.
You know. Oh, well. Let me.
He won't be on my ticket. I may regret it, but he won't be.
All right. I'm sure he'll live through that. Well, the first Rose of a Trap Shot raced to 2 last year, and he decided 20 first crop winners. 20 already. 3 have earned black type. My man Sam ran a bang-up second in the Grade 1 Bluegrass at Keeneland and then was checked sharply in the Kentucky Derby. You're going to be hearing more from him. Fish Trap Road is placed in stakes at Belmont, and Calabaca is stakes placed at New York, and Trap Shot is siring solid winners at the major tracks. It is 4 at Belmont, 6 at Gulfstream, 3 at Aqueduct, 2 at Churchill, Santa Anita, Oakland, Keeneland, 2 at Laurel. They're winning wherever they're asked to run. Trap Shot was a runner himself, a graded stakes winner and Grade 1 place center champion, Sarah Tappet, and he's a half-brother to the Grade 1 winner, Miss Shot. There are 8 stakes winners under his first dam. Running family. Trap Shot stands at Claiborne Farm. For more on the Claiborne stands, call Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and take a look at the website, claibornefarm.com. I'm missing Jackie already, because she does some of these commercials for me, and I mean, it's goes a whole lot of Ursel, you know.
Oh, that's what it
means. I don't know if it turns everybody else off, but it does me. Well, anyway, it's always a good idea to do business with people you trust. You know, when we moved to Bourbon County back in 1988, we wanted to do business with the local people. It's always a good idea. And we had some good friends down there. We knew a bunch of people down there in the horse business who we should do our insurance business with. And without exception, they said the Hopewell Company. So that's what we did. We called them. They've been taking care of us ever since. They insure the farm or our house or the barn or the shed or tractor or you name it, you know, and they insure it. And They're great people to do business with. That's Joe, Ted, and Jody McLean. And they've been in business for, oh gosh, about 50, 60 years now. And I think they know what they're doing. Is what I'm talking about. And they're an independent agency, and they work for you. They don't work for the insurance companies, and they're able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive prices from the financially sound, reputable insurers. And I would recommend them in a heartbeat. Just contact the Hopewell Company, and you know, they'll provide you with a no cost, no obligation review in comparison of your insurance. And they were founded in 1955, so now that was how many years ago? Somebody with 45, 55, 60 years ago. Oh, my God. The Hopewell Company, it's on Main Street in Paris. Here's their number, 859, number 987-2347, or Lexington number, 254-2431, and guarantee you they'll give you great service, they're great people to do business with. All righty. Couple of names to remember in the horse business, also from down in Gay Prairie. It's the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek Farm. The Clay Ward Agency was founded back in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward. That was the year 20 grand won the Derby, as a matter of fact. And Sweep All was second, and Mate Ran third, in case you were interested. Mate had won the Preakness, by the way, which was run before the Derby that year. They were in the Preakness before the Derby 11 times. Did you know that, Michael?
No.
Yeah, 11 times. And anyway, the last time that they ran it before the Derby was in 1931. So the year before was Gallant Fox went in the Triple Crown, and it was run before then, too. Well, anyway.
It's old.
I digress. Yeah, right.
It's old.
Which I've been accused of doing a whole lot. Well, but anyway, the James Clay Ward Agency, they've been in business over 80 years, and their success based on hard work, attention to detail, great service, and thorough knowledge of the horse business. And the folks there now, Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess, they give you that same quality insurance. So here's their number. It's an 859 number, 987-1861. 1861, just remember that's the year of the Civil War. Now, they're closely affiliated with Indian Creek Farm. And that's Shaq Parrish and Nicky Dryan over there. Here's a number over there. It's 859-987-7443. And the website is IndianCreekKY.com. Great place to board your horses. Beautiful farm. And that's where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. So two great outfits in Paris, Kentucky, Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursel Ellis.
All right, what if you told me, you haven't told me who's going to Michael Blowen or who's going to win the Preakness yet?
Well, I'm going to play Exaggerator.
All right.
Exaggerator, it's interesting, both Exaggerator and Collected, Bob Baffert's horse, have the highest Tomlinson numbers for a wet track. Exaggerator has run on a wet track three times with two wins and a second. So he's very, very consistent. So I'm gonna key off Exaggerator and see if we can't hit something.
All right.
And unlike the Derby, the Preakness is accepting 10-cent superfectas. You know, that you had to bet a dollar superfecta at Derby. That was
But you spend more than 10 cents.
Sure. Yeah. No. No, you do. I usually spend somewhere, you know, between $4 and $12. But for $12, you get 120 combinations.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got a tape spot down there.
That's pretty good.
How about that? Okay, go ahead.
You get 120 different combinations for $12.
Yeah, 120 different combinations?
Yeah, 10 cents into $12. So you get, for every dollar, you get 10 combinations.
Oh, that's a little higher math for me. You know, that's another reason I don't play pick fours. You know, I could never figure that out.
Yeah. Well, it's a great bet. It's a great bet because, you know, you can play a lot of different combinations, especially in a race that's wide open. But it'll be interesting to see who gets scratched in here and what they're going to do about these turf races if the skies open up and they get all this rain that they're supposed to get.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get that storm that we got yesterday, plus they got another one coming up the Atlantic Ocean. So I have a feeling that some of these fields are going to really get cut back. It's really too bad.
Well, what's going on over at Old Friends?
Well, we're working on a new horse to bring in.
Oh, my God.
More fun, where that came from.
at 119.
Let's see, 104 now. Maybe 105 on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Dr. Bauer is
rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
Literally, I can feel him shake at night.
Frowning down on you.
No. We have the well. The good thing now is that before, when I was taking him in and at a fast rate, we didn't have enough space to handle it, and so we had to keep expanding that way. And we finally got where okay, we had enough space and had enough finances and had everything so that we could give all the horses a really good spot. And so that's what we're continuing to do. We've got the new running sheds up. We've got the new water lines in. We're going to start building the fence on the adjoining field in about another couple of weeks, and they should be starting the new barn construction in another week or two.
Wow.
So we'll have room for him. Yeah. This horse is an interesting horse, actually. His name is Rather, R-A-T-H-O-R. Right. He was a European horse that Bobby Frankel bought over. It's one of the last horses, I think, that Bobby trained.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, since Bobby was so good to us, he left us money and he left us most of his trophies. So we always like to look out for Bobby's horses. And this one's, I think, 14 now. And he was running. He was going to run at Philadelphia Park a few years ago, and he wouldn't come out of the gate. So they banned him. Then he ended up at the Finger Lakes. And then he got adopted by somebody. And I guess I'm not sure what the details are.
Jake Gilding?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
And the reason I call Kent yesterday is because Kent rode him, and he beat Funnyside in one race.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a nice horse. I mean, he earned several hundred thousand dollars, I think.
Oh, okay. Stakes winner, in other words.
Yeah. So
is he there yet?
No. There's this wonderful woman named Robin who runs Hudson Horse Transportation up in New England, and she always brings the horses down from New England and New York for us for free, just like Sally Vance.
Well.
Yeah, really.
That's because she knows you're not going to pay.
We pay our bills. We do. Yeah. Rumors to the contrary.
You okay?
We pay our bills. Ask the feed guy. Ask the hay guy. Yeah. They like us now.
I got something to ask anyway. I've got some friends visiting from California. And what time are your tours on Sunday?
10, 1, and 3.
10, 1, and 3.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's a good day to come too. We have really good tour guides on the weekends too that are very informative.
All right.
And fun.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm developing my relationship with War Emblem now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He just bosses me around all the time. I told Bob Jill Bappert. I told Jill that Bob had to teach him to do things and made him do things. He had to do things whether he wanted to or not.
Yeah.
Did him pretty well, but. Now it's the shoes on the other foot, so he gets to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And they get to train us when they come to the farm. And I mean that quite literally. So once you learn what they want you to do and you do it, their dispositions improve.
Oh. Okay.
That's almost like, invariably.
That's kind of like Jackie.
I was thinking it was kind of like you. I thought it was kind of like you. I was
beat
say.
You to it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And I noticed Jackie isn't here to defend herself.
She's on
the
way.
Yeah, really.
She's on her way now, she said.
I've had enough, she says.
With a mad look.
But it's been a good week. We've had a lot of really, really interesting visitors. The Lewises came. Jeff Lewis and his wife Marge came. Of course, his parents. His mother Beverly lives in California. His father, of course, Robert Lewis, from whom the stakes race is named, out in California, died. But his mother's out in California, and Jeff, of course, arranged to pay for everything for Silver Charm coming home from Macayo.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So they were really, that was really great seeing them. They're really, really nice people, and. And they adore that horse. So they all got their picture taken. And my friend Fred Kuroviak, the artist, he came and painted a bunch of lawn jockeys for us. So
is that right?
Yeah. So when you come up the hill now, we've got Alphabet Soup's colors and Sarava's colors and Game On Dude's colors.
I saw that last time. They look real good.
They do look good. And then
I was talking to Bob Copeland the other day, and I told him, we got to talking about you, and I told Bob, I said, look, he could get money out of a lawn jockey.
I know, but I told him, they have the little hands out there with little rings on. I said, we should just put donation buckets, and people put the money in with their favorite horse.
Right, yeah. What you need to do is just hang a little something there,
Yeah.
with a dollar sign over it, you know, or you drive by, you drop one in.
Yeah.
And you load, you know, you got about 10 of them go through that. You could make
a couple
of money.
Bucks a day, we'd be all set. And we had dinner the other night with Tracy and Carol Farmer. We moved commentator up to New York.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he's up at Saratoga now, where he's, and we're going to have a special day for him up there. And Tracy and Carol, of course, who owned him, and they own another one of our great retirees, Hidden Lake. They owned with Robert Clay.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had dinner the other night. We had really had a wonderful time. Them telling stories about the horses and all of that. And Tracy and Carol really care about what's happening with their horses. And when Sun King retires, who is their horse, retires from his breeding career, he's going to come to All Friends.
Oh, wow. What about No Biz Like Show Biz?
He's coming to. The problem is that we've got to get this fence up so we can move some of the geldings out of stallion paddocks, and then we'll have room for the stallions.
Yeah.
Everything has been delayed, unfortunately, and usually it's delayed because we don't have the money, but now we have the money, and it's delayed because of the weather.
It's been a funny thing ever since, you know, that I learned Pope McLean over there, he's over at Crestwood Farm, No Biz Like Show Biz, and I learned that he was going to move over. Pope said something about it to Old Friends eventually, you know.
Yes.
And I don't think they're breeding him this year. I don't know, but anyway.
Yeah.
He just started jumping up with all these winners, had a really nice, several nice winners in New York and everything.
So absolutely.
I told him, I said,
not Pope, so fast.
I said, Pope, he doesn't want to leave.
Well, Mrs. Valando, who owns him, her husband was a Broadway producer.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He's a great Broadway producer. He produced Cabaret, a lot of really major, major hits on Broadway. He was, and curiously enough, I interviewed him like 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So, and he has since passed away, and she runs the operation now with Pope and everybody. She's very nice.
Yeah.
She's got a box at Saratoga. She gets all dressed up like, you know, she gets all dressed up.
Yeah.
And she looks fabulous when she goes to the races.
Ah, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, let me take a break here. Wait a minute. I want to ask you what else you got coming up as far as fundraisers and, you know.
Get my tin cup.
Let you get your licks in before you leave. Okay. Well, the breeding season's winding down, but if you have a late season mare and you're looking for a proven sire grade one winners standing for a reasonable stud fee, you got a couple to choose from over at Judmont Farm. First Defense and Mizzen Mass. First Defense, a Siding Eclipse Award winner, two millionaires, both incidentally from his first crop. And he has sent a steady procession of hard-hitting stakes winners to the races in every crop to race a full season ever since. He stands for $7,500 live foal, and he has a great pedigree. He's a grade one winner himself. First Defense is Bon Bridle Song, and a grade one winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Sioux, to the top sire empire maker. First Defense, $7,500 live foal. Mizzen Mass, also a grade one winner. He's sired eight grade one winners. He's the winner of the three Breeders' Cup races. He's sired a champion two-year-old and a classic winner. And he's got a pedigree that offers a great outcost to Mr. Prospect for Stormcat and Bull Ruler Line mares. Sire seven stakes winners already this year. Mizzen Mass, $12,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. Call Aaron. She's a lot cuter than Garrett. 859-272-7629. See the website at judmont.com.
Down through the years, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have walked into a Sally van on the way to win a Kentucky Derby, go to the Breeders' Cup, and yes, do a Triple Crown. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. Sally vans are always in tip-top condition, and the person behind the wheel is an experienced driver and an experienced horseman. And that, my friends, is a winning combination. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why, for more than six decades, the Sally van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. So give them a call at 859-255-9406. See the website at sallyvans.com and enjoy the ride.
Well, the first foals by Revolutionary arriving this year, and as expected, he's signing superb individuals. So if you've got a late season mare, call the folks over at Windstar Farm. Ask about the stallions standing there, including Revolutionary. Extremely popular, he covered 146 mares last year, and he stands at Windstar for $7,500 doing a full stands and nurses. And he's a lot of horse for the money. Boca's maiden is a two-year-old in New York and was never out of the money at two. Won the grade one Louisiana Derby as a three-year-old in a dead game third after a nightmare trip in the Kentucky Derby. Behind him that day were the likes of Normandy Invasion and Oxbow and We'll Take Charge and Palace Malice, Verrazano, Golden Sense, and others, of course. Tough field. He came back to win the Grade 3 Withers, the Grade 3 Pimlico Special, and he earned over $1,353,000. Revolutionaries by War Pass, winner of the Eclipse War as a two-year-old, and sire of 18 stakes horses, 12 graded, and but two crops of foals before his death. Revolutionaries Dam won the Classic Alabama. She's by the Great AP Indy, and there are 21 stakes winners, 12 graded from his first two dams. Fantastic pedigrees. Call Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugler, Carolyn Walsh at 859-873-1717. Check the website windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursel Ellis.
All right, I'm talking to Michael Blowen, which is pretty routine every Saturday.
Yes. I actually look forward to it.
Do you really?
Like, yes.
If you get you away from work, that's why.
Well, that's true. Well, I have to get up. The only thing I have to do in the morning is feed Little Silver Charm.
Oh, there.
Yeah, it's my job now. I just have to make sure he gets his
Little brain. Silver Charm, for those uninformed, is a little miniature gelding.
No, he's a Ridgeling.
Oh, he's a Ridgeling. Yeah. One up, one down, huh?
Yeah, okay. That's him. He never did anything exactly right. But he's got his own book now. It's very popular.
Yeah,
you know how you order stuff on Amazon? Well, I don't know if you do or not, but you know, you order stuff on Amazon.com, and then 2 weeks later, they send you other recommendations based on your selection, what you've already purchased. So,
yeah.
So anyway, so I bought Joe Drape's book on American Pharoah.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, I get a whole list of other books about horses.
Okay.
So there's Andy Byers' Picking Winners. There's a book on the Triple Crown called The Most Glorious Crown, and there's a picture of the little horse with his book.
Is that
the Amazon recommendation list? That goofy little horse. It's his own. It's his memoir.
Yeah.
It's got fabulous pictures of him with his celebrity pals, and it shows him gazing longingly at his centerfold of Zenyatta that's up in his running shed.
Somebody have to put him.
He's
up
dreaming.
To it.
He's dreaming. Yeah. Yeah, well, he says if Mickey Rooney could marry Ava Gardner, he has a shot.
Oh, Lord.
But,
was that clicking sound? Is that when they just took us off the air?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably they did. For more reasons than one.
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay.
I want to mention something, too, about the races at Pimlico today. One more thing. That if they do take the races off the grass, if they do take the last race off the grass, which they may do, there's a horse entered for the main track only at 6-1 that Lacey Gaudette trains, named Rock Harbor, and he looks like he could really be tough in there if they take it off the grass.
Which race is that?
That's the last race at Pimlico today. It's the 14th race.
Oh, it's not even a stakes race yet.
No, it's not. It's just a okay. Main race, but it is the race after the Preakness. So if you like a couple horses in the Preakness and you want to play them in the late double, you know, I'd suggest that you would put Rock Harbor on your betting menu if they take it off the grass.
Okay, I'll be sure to scratch that off my list.
We'll see next week. We'll see next week. This is the brutal part. You're actually held accountable. Yeah, I went to see that movie Money Monster with George Clooney.
Oh, okay.
It's worth seeing. It's not that good, but it's got its moments. And he plays a guy that goes on TV and gives people stock tips. Oh. And, you know, he tells them this is a mortal lock and you know, buy this stock and everything. Well, this kid loses like 60 grand and he can't afford it. His girlfriend's pregnant. He's lost his job. And he said this was a mortal lock. And so he's going to hold him accountable. So he shows up at the TV station with a gun.
Oh,
and they developed this relationship about it. But anyway, what it reminded me of is being held accountable for your predictions. And if people in racing that worked for the racing firm were held accountable for their positions, they'd all be in trouble.
Spoken like an old movie critic.
George Clooney's great in it, though.
I haven't. The only movie I ever saw him was that one about the chain gang down in Mississippi.
Yeah, with the good music.
Yeah.
Oh, it starts.
Oh, brother, where art thou?
Yeah. Between us, we'll figure it out. Yes. Oh, brother, where art thou?
Yeah. How about that?
He's a very good actor.
I didn't go to a theater. I waited until it came out.
You know? Yeah.
The facts for Jack.
How many sound movies have you seen? Actually, seen movies with sound and color. They have color now too.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Well, I got kind of jaundiced when they said, well, Boy Admiral stood 18 hands in Seabiscuit.
See, you're a critic too, see?
Yeah, well, it didn't have to be a critic. It'd have to be a damn fool to believe that.
I wonder if Chris McCarron has the horse. He did have the horse who played War Admiral, one of the horses that played War Admiral in the Seabiscuit movie.
Oh, in a school? In a jock school?
I don't know if his school or he had him retired personally.
No.
Because he rode him. And I don't know. I'll have to find out. We'll find out. I'll get back to you next week. But I think he has him. And we were thinking sometime about having him come to Old Friends and we could have this because we have the Seabiscuit horse.
You've got the Seabiscuit.
And we'd have him.
Yeah. They'll put him in the paddock together.
No, well, he's Popcorn Delights, the horse who played Seabiscuit, has his pal. And that's it. They're like bonded. They're like Siamese twins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, special ring and he are like. Phew.
Best thing about that movie were the scenes from down Bourbon County at the farm over on.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We used to have that horse, too. Rich in Dallas was the one that goes through the woods there. That one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
Riding through the woods. That horse is named Rich in Dallas, and he's working at an Oklahoma boys' home now as part of their recovery therapy.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah.
Why do you come up with this crap?
Well, it's all true. I don't have to. I just have to report it because these horses do. They have great stories. In fact, we should do a horse of the week at Old Friends. What do you think about that? Have a little segment.
Huh? Oh, God.
So every week we could.
Hey, you've got five segments now. What do you want?
Well, probably more than my. They'd probably be more interested in that than my stupid movie review.
Well.
But we could do a horse a week and then go through the whole list.
All right.
What do you think? We'll try it. If you don't like it, you're the boss and, you know,
I don't know.
Do whatever you want.
You just come in and blather anyway. You might as well try.
There you go. What a recommendation. All right. You're nasty to me. I'm going to go now because I have to get in the car and I have to go.
All right.
I have to go up and I'm going to give a little talk today up in Fort Mitchell. So those of you who are there, the two or three people that might be attending, I hear the food's good anyway.
Where are you eating? Where is it?
I don't know. I got to look. Sylvia writes me the directions and I just...
Call Jackie. She knows everything up in northern Kentucky. That's where she's
going. I want to know, is Fort Mitchell closer to Belterra or closer to Turfway?
It would be closer to Turfway, I imagine.
Okay.
But call that. Call and ask Jackie.
I will. I'll find out.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to go for the Preakness, I guess, unless I have to drive to Louisville. Mm. Kruger invited me to go to Louisville.
Who did?
Jean Kruger.
Oh, did he?
He's got a place in the Turf Club. He insinuated his way into the Turf Club.
Oh.
And so he has a nice seat up at the Turf Club, but I'm not sure I can drive from here to Cincinnati, then Cincinnati to Louisville, and then Louisville home.
Yeah. Somebody said, he said, you know, of course, he rode Seattle Sleep.
Yes.
And he said that the best horse he ever rode was Horse the Flag.
Yep.
Okay.
Well. That's what he kept saying. Yep. He's got pictures of him in Hoist the Flag. There's some nice pictures. He's a great guy. He's a really great guy.
I'd love to have him on the show, but I can't understand a word he says.
Well, I know it can be hard. He's got a very strong French accent. You know, he got this special award this year at Ferdinand's Ball, the Old Friends Award at Ferdinand's Ball. They gave it to Kruger for all the help that he's given.
I missed it. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
It's well deserved.
All right, my friend.
All right. Good luck here, Commander.
You never did say what your next fundraiser was, though. Give you a plug before you leave.
Really,
I stuttered.
I know. I can't remember. I don't know when it is.
You don't know when it is.
Mm-mm. Oh, it's in Saratoga. That's why.
Oh, okay. Well,
I had to reset my mental GPS.
Excuse me if I don't go to that.
Huh?
Okay.
It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Well,
it's going to be a lot of.
I hope you enjoy it.
It's a lot of fun. Okay. Have you ever been to Saratoga?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. Come on, Ursel. What's the matter with you? Get in the car. Go. You and Jackie. Come on.
Oh,
it's so much fun up there. It's a nice place. You'll adore it. It's like Keeneland.
I'm lucky to get out of Bourbon County.
I know you are.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you would have a blast because the whole town is all about horses and it's all about racing, just like Lexington.
At my age, the last thing I need is a blast. So we'll let it go with that.
That is true.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Ursel. See you next week.
You want to do a Cool in the Leather and Tack commercial for me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Then I won't have to say anything.
Oh, I ran.
Let me do this.
Oh, that's going to be our fundraiser.
Okay, wait a minute.
Okay.
Let me do this one first, and then I'll cue you.
I'm glad you remembered.
Just sit right there, and I'll cue you.
Okay.
Don't leave yet.
No.
Okay. All right. It's not too late to book to a young sire, a winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. It has sired two stakes winners in his first crop of racing age. Albertus Maximus has done just that, and he stands free to approve mares. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Or, if you may also breed to De Hare, a grade one winner with a great pedigree that has sent a steady procession of stakes horses to the races, beginning with his first crop, and going right into 2016. He's never missed. In fact, an astonishing 13% of his foals, that's foals now, not starters, have won in place in stakes. 17% of his starters have earned black type. De Hare won grade one stakes. He's by the elite sire Awesome Again out of stakes winner Irish Cherry. The dam of grade one stakes winners by two of them by Awesome Again, De Hare, of course, and Spun Sugar. Albertus Maximus, in addition to winning the million-dollar Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, won the grade one $500,000 Don, plus the Windy Sins handicap at Del Mar, the latter race in track record time. Earned over $1,328,000. Why don't you call Kent Barnes at Shadwell, 859-224-4585, ask about breeding incentives, and check the website, shadwellfarm.com. All right, Michael, it's time for you.
Ralph Quillen, Quillen Leather and Tack. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous stuff. I mean, just going in there and looking at the craftsmanship of all their, of all of their goods. They've got everything from shanks to beautiful halters. They're really good to old friends. If you want to come out and see their work, you can come look at our horses and check it out. Be glad to show you around and give you Ralph's number. Ran into Ralph the other night at a restaurant.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. What restaurant?
It's called Local Feed in Georgetown.
Local Feed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They sell in Rooster Brewer in there?
Not yet, but I think that's one of the reasons Ralph was having a mission to accomplish this.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to do a fundraiser for Old Friends, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ralph is?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be fun. I'll have to go to that one.
And then Tommy Walters, who owns Proud Mary's down on the river, they're going to have a blues festival. All-day blues festival, and they're donating 10% of the gate to Old Friends.
Who did that song, Proud Mary? What was it?
A lot of people. Okay. I really like Tina Turner's version.
Okay.
The best. But that's just my personal preference. But anyway, so... but
Creed. Clearwater.
Yeah, they did the original.
Creed and Clearwater?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ressi. I'm better informed with you here. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So go over to see Ralph. Not only do they have things for horses, they also have things that great gifts that are moderately priced that you can give to people with their, you know, the belts that they make with your name on it with the brass plates. In fact, I'm wearing one right now with Sunshine Forever's name, Mark Fiala.
Not your name?
No.
Okay. Well, good. It's a class belt.
You know, it is a class belt. It's got classy horses on it. And they have keychains. And one of the neat things is we sell foal tags.
Yeah.
And we sell them with the horse's name on it. People use them for keychains.
Yeah, right.
And he makes those, too, and they're only $7.50 a piece.
Very good.
Retail. That's not the Old Friends price.
Let me tell you how do you find Quillen Leather and Tack. You go into Paris, and you go to the third stoplight and look to your left. And you can't miss it, right across from Ken's New Market, and a great place. It's a fun place to shop. And also, Rooster Brewery is, if you want to keep going straight, about five blocks, and it's on your left.
And you may be straight going in. I'm not so sure about coming out.
Boy, they gave me a beer down there once. It came in a shifter. Is that what you call them?
Yes.
Shifter?
No.
Huh? Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's a glass with a, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a brandy
stuff. Whatever it was. I tell you what, I don't know what the alcohol content was here, but I couldn't take two of them.
Yeah.
I never would have walked out of there. But anyway, it was fun. All right. Well, the first foals by State Thirsty are two-year-olds this year. Stands over at Ashford Stud, where developing champion sires is a tradition. At Stud there now are champion sires Giants Causeway, Munnings, Taylor the Cat, Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo has four going into Preakness today. Do you see that?
Yes.
Four of them.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Uncle Mo, what a horse.
Last year, yearlings by Stay Thirsty sold for an average of well over five times the stud fee. He signed grand individuals. Five of them sold for 20 times the stud fee or more. He was a grade one two-year-old himself, precocious. He won grade one stakes at three and grade one stakes again and again at four. And he earned close to $2 million. Got a great pedigree. He's by Bernardini, whose stud fee is a well-deserved $100,000. His dam has produced three stakes winners, two grade one winners. His second dam won over $500,000, including stakes, and placed in four grade one races, among them the classic Mother Goose, and the pedigree is rich with black type. Stay Thirsty, a good bet to join the list of champion sires at Ashford Stud. 10,000 due in a full stands of nurses. If you have a late season mare, call the folks at Ashford, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. Well, let me see what... Tim, come around here and tell me who you like in the Preakness. This is Tim Anstead from iHeartRadio, which is the big station here in one of them. Well, how many stations it got there anyway?
We have nine stations.
Nine stations. Good Lord.
I know.
Okay.
I didn't come prepared with a racing form, so a little...
Didn't come up. Well, maybe
I'm just gonna go with Exaggerator.
Here's the list. You don't listen to Michael, for God's sake.
I don't know. he seems like he knows what he's doing. He's got a War Emblem hat on.
Yeah, right. That's to cover up his bald head. That's all. Well, I don't know what have I got on here. I'm speaking of bald heads.
Judmont.
Oh, okay. I've got my Judmont hat on. Okay. All right. Well, who if you were betting today, and I'm not sure, are you a better?
I'm not much of a better, so. But if I was betting, I wouldn't bet the 3-5 shot. You know, I'd probably bet, you know, Exaggerator or maybe the third choice and try to make some money.
VAR lose.
Yeah, probably more likely lose because, I mean, Nyquist hasn't been beaten yet, so it'd be pretty, you know. He ambitious to try to beat Nyquist.
Yeah, exactly. He's the horse to beat, isn't it? Two ways about that.
Yeah.
I kind of like Exaggerator too, because of he loves the mud, and I don't think that the other horse has ever even run in the mud.
Yeah, and you know he hasn't run off a 2-week layoff ever either, so you know that might he might have spent a lot of energy in the Derby. You never know.
They didn't do much with him in between. I know that.
That's pretty much protocol with the Derby winner. They kind of just rest him and get him for a jog, right?
Well, it depends on the horse.
Really?
You know, some of them will take more. And I've seen him work them between.
Doug O'Neill would know because he won with I'll Have Another, then won the Preakness with I'll Have Another. So.
Yeah, of course, didn't get to run into Belmont or scratch
down before that. We had Doug on Tom Leach's show the Thursday before one of the Keeneland races, and he was running Nyquist at Keeneland, you know, just kind of working him out and everything. And he is a nice guy, and you kind of want to root for him just because he was such a nice, genuine guy when we had him on Tom Leach's show.
Yeah. I had him – I didn't have him on the show, but I met him when he was here with I'll Have Another.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think where – Dr. Doug Byers had a kind of a party, birthday party for at his place, and Doug was there.
It was crazy because, you know, Doug's the, you know, won several Triple Crown races, you know, he's got this undefeated horse, and, you know, we have him on there, we're talking with him and Tom are talking about, you know, Nyquist and everything, but when we went to commercials and whatnot, all Doug wanted to talk to Tom about was UK basketball, who Coach Cal was bringing in. That's all he was more interested in, you know, talking to Tom, that, you know, that Tom was the voice of the Wildcats. He wanted to know hear about, you know, he wanted to know if we were going to get this Bolden guy. So he knew enough about, you know, recruiting everything. You know, this was a couple weeks ago. He was like, so you think Cal's going to get this Bolden kid? So it was kind of cool seeing, you know, someone, you know, from the West Coast, you know, wanted to talk to Tom Leach about.
Where is he from originally?
I don't know.
There's an article about him. I haven't read it yet in this week's Blood Horse magazine. In fact, he's on the cover. Doug's on the cover of it.
Yeah, super nice guy. Like, he just wanted to, you know, he was only supposed to be on for one segment, but he stuck around for a couple segments. And really, really nice, genuine guy. Makes you kind of want to cheer for him.
Yeah. Well, I kind of, you know, it'd be good for racing if the horses went into the Triple Crown, you know, looking for the Belmont.
Yeah, well, I guess before American Pharoah, the last two Triple Crown winners were consecutive years, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe it'll happen again.
Yeah, Seattle Slew and Affirm. In three. Well, it's, you know, I hope he wins it because of that. And, but I'm like you, I would probably pick, if I was going to bet, I'd bet the other horse, Exaggerator.
What a year that Uncle Mo's having.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Got four of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got two in the stakes and another stakes today.
Oh, really?
He had a stakes winner yesterday.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He won something yesterday. A filly won one. I guess it was two in that stakes race. See, I've got these things here. Well, we'll see. What did she win? It was a grade three race, I believe, at Pimlico. Grade three race somewhere. But we have to go.
Yeah, his two-year-old and I guess their three-year-old crop now, they're looking pretty formidable.
Yeah, he's got 13 stakes winners in his first crop. Well, where in the hell is the thing? It would be on the bottom now that I'm thumbing through here looking for it. Trying to look at that filly's name, Bellamy Road, that isn't it? Well, I don't know. It's in here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's on the back because it was yesterday. Here we go. Here, Lost Raven won the grade three Adina Springs Miss Preakness Stakes yesterday.
Okay.
But she had won that stakes before. She won stakes last year, and she's a graded stakes winner already, Lost Raven. Bred by Ripoli Stables, of course, that's the Uncle Mo people.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Man, he hit a home run there, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim, we thank you.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you, you know, coming on being on our radio station, and, you know, I see this national publication, Washington Post, put an article out about you, so I had to come out and see what all the fuss was about.
Oh, my God. You know, they ran that. You saw that picture they ran of me?
Yeah.
Yeah, 5,000 people called in to cancel their subscriptions.
Really? I don't know why. That was a good-looking gent on that picture.
No, they couldn't do that. All right, let's see. I've got to catch up with here. Arcatur won last Saturday the Singletary Stakes at Santa Anita. Is the third stakes winner, seventh stakes horse from the first crop by Arch. He's signed runners. So is Patty Oprado. Sorry, Ed Johnson, winner on Sunday of the Alcatraz Stakes at Golden Gate. I started right to said they turned him loose and he won the Alcatraz Stakes, but I didn't. It's just as well. Well, Patty Oprado has signed six stakes horses, two stakes winners in his first crop. And it's noteworthy they both Arch, winner of the nine furlong grade one Arkansas Derby, and Patty Oprado. He won grade one stakes going 10 furlongs, and he also placed in the Kentucky Derby. Both of them excel going long. So that bodes well for the future of their progeny when they start stretching out a little bit. Among Arch's seven stakes horses is the graded stakes winner Toes on Ice. He is also placed in grade one stakes. Stakes winner Go No Ice, and Nick Shares, second in graded stakes at Saratoga. Patty Oprado is also the sire of Fairground Stakes winner Above Fashion. Cherry Wine placed in the grade one Bluegrass, and Sutton Smile placed in the grade one Starlet. Among the 30 winners, six stakes horses in his first crop. Arch, a grade one stakes winner by Arch. Patty Oprado, a grade one stakes winner by El Prado. Both stand at Spendthrift Farm. If you got a late season mare, call Dez Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. All right, I want to talk about a couple of products that were developed by one of the nation's leading veterinarians, Dr. Steve Allday. And these products are Lubricin and Reborn. And I tell you what, they make the Lubricin not only for horses, they make it for people, and I use it. And incidentally, they both of them are all natural, incidentally, and you can pass the spit test, so I'm clear there in case they want me to pee in a bottle or something like that. Anyway, Lubricin, put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid, and it helps reduce the cost of things like acid ingestions, and I don't want any of those. Trainers that use Lubricin on a regular basis include the likes of Todd Pletcher and Tony Drutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Merker, and you can go down the list of stakes winners that they've raced and start every year, every week, every day, as far as that goes. And you know that they're running on Lubricin. Great product. And like I said, they make it for old codgers like me, and it tastes real good. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. It's safe. It's easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. Good idea to start it with your foals because it strengthens the foal's immune system while it's nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages, provides a quick recovery from physical challenges. Reborn, here's how you learn more about them. Lubricin.com, Lubricin.com. Reborn, Reborne.com. Two great products right there. Well, Cowboy Cow is the sire of seven stakes horses already this year. Marquee Miss Winner at two last year, the Arlington Washington Lassie, has won the $100,000 Dixie Belle and the $100,000 Martha Washington and placed in the Grade 3 Bourbonette Oaks this year. A vigorous Titan won the Colonel Power Stakes at the Fairgrounds, was second in the Duncan F. Kenner at the same track. At Harrah, second in the debutante at Churchill at two in 2015, shipped in to win the El Paso Time Stakes at Sunland on May 3, $75,000 pot, shipped in for. Fear the Cowboy, winner of stakes at Gulfstream last year, his stakes placed in Louisiana this year. Simple Surprise, stakes placed at Oakland after winning stakes last year at Saratoga. Six spots, stakes placed at Pimlico and Turfway. In 2015, he stakes placed again at Turfway this year. Blue Ribbon Girl is placed in stakes for two straight years in Louisiana. What it boils down to is the fact that Cowboy is signing runners for $5,000 to be able to win a full stands in Nurses. He was the third crop sire and second leading third crop sire by number of winners in 2015. So call Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, 859-873-1420, and see the website, pinoakstud.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursula Ellis.
All righty, let me look at that just for a second there, Tim. And, of course, they're running the Preakness. State. Let me give you the stakes races that they're running today to fill out the hour. It's Grade 1 Preakness, of course. And here's old... We're talking about El Prado, Patty El Prado just a minute ago. He's got Cherry Wine today, the number one horse, in the Preakness. The stakes races today, the Grade 3 Gallarette at Pimlico. It's drawn a field of 12, and it's been one scratch. So anyways, let's see who's a favorite in here. A pretty wide open race. The favorite of 7-2 is Tiger Ride. Let's see, the Kona Gold Stakes is the Santa Anita Stakes race today. It's not graded, but anyway, they run it. It's drawn a field of 10. And they don't give me the favorites on that one. I'll have to go elsewhere. The Dixie Handicap, the Longy Dixie Handicap, Grade 2 at Pimlico. It's drawn a field of 11. And the lukewarm favorite is Grand Arch by Arch. The Maryland Sprint Handicap, Grade 3. You leaving us, Tim? Thanks for coming out.
Gotta go do some UK softball and baseball games.
Gotta go do UK softball and baseball. Okay. Well, I hope you were better attained than you were this morning.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right. Take care. The Maryland Sprint Handicap Grade 3 has drawn a field of 7. And the favorite in there at 3-1 is Cinco Chale by Indian Chale. Let's see. I gave you the Gallarette, didn't I? Named after, or did I? I guess I did. Gallarette, of course, the great old mare by Challenger II, raced back in the 40s. Back, she was very doable. God, I know how many times she ran. But anyway, she was one of the all-time great race mares of her day. Probably the best race mare, maybe the best race horse to come out of Maryland. She wasn't as good as Chaladon, or I guess as good as Cigar, but otherwise... She was a great race mare. Stakes producer also. Let's see. Today, the Hosheen Cup, Grade 3, is at Arlington Park. And a feature in there is Midnight Cello by Midnight Lute. He is the favorite. Let's see. Saturday's the Louisville Handicap with Grade 3. Churchill. It's a field of 7. And a 5-2 favorite in there is Roman Approval. No, the 2-1 is on the outside. Is a Dynamic Sky 2-1, and then Roman Approval is 5-2. And hopefully we're going to have Steve Moody on here pretty soon. See if we can't get him. Who's going to win that race? And see who he likes in the Preakness. The Vagrancy is Grade 3, named after that great race mare and great foundation broodmare. It's got a field of 5 there. The 1-5 favorite is Paula Silver Lining. She's a graded stakes winner already this year, and she is by one of my favorite horses, Ghost Zapper. Let's see. Of course, he said yesterday Ghost Zapper was the sire of Go Maggie Go, won the Black-Eyed Susan yesterday. She's a 3-year-old filly,
And she was running second to her was a filly by Majestic Perfection named Ma Can Do It. And Kingsley Kishes was third in that race, and she is by, I believe, Congrats. Let's see, the James W. Murphy Stakes at Pimlico today. Got 9 going in that race. The Very One Stakes at Pimlico has got 12 going in that one. The Chick Lang at Pimlico, field of 8 going there. The Sir Barton Stakes, because Sir Barton, the first Triple Crown winner. We're going to do a little something on him a little bit later because they named the race for him up there. It's drawn a field of 14. And I don't know if it's on the grass or not. It doesn't say. I don't think it is. The Softly Soaring Stakes at Belmont, a field of 9 to 1 scratch out of there. More Than Just Hello has been withdrawn. They're running the Queenston Stakes at Woodbine today, a $150,000 pot with a field of 5. And the 3-5 favorite of that is Conquest Enforcer by Into Mischief. And at the Curragh in Ireland, they're running the Irish 1,000 Guineas. And it's drawn a field of 14. Let's see if there's any American breds in there. Irish, cool, more. Well, that's a gal. Galileo's an Irish bred. I don't believe there's anything in there by our horse. A bunch of Galileos in there, aren't they? And always. They stand the number one horse in Europe, Galileo, Coomore does, and the one number one horse in this country, Uncle Mo. They're also running at Takura today the Tattersall's Gold Cup. It's a Group 1 race with a field of 8 and no American breds in there also. So anyway, those are the stakes races today. Well, let's see. Yesterday at Pimlico, I had to rewrite this one. Yesterday at Pimlico, the Grade 2 $250,000 Black Eyed Susan Stakes was won by Go Maggie Go, a 3-year-old filly by Go Sapper. A troubled fourth in the Kentucky Oaks in her last start. She has also won the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks this year. In fact, she's won 3 of her 4 starts this year. And she was bred and is owned by Mike Tarp. Well, on last Sunday at Woodbine, the Grade 3 $150,000 Sleen Stakes was won by Gamble's Ghost, a 3-year-old filly by Ghost Sapper. Bred by Tall Oaks Farm, Gamble's Ghost stalked the early pace, then kicked clear to win the mile and the 16th Sleen. Won by widening length and a quarter. In 6 starts, she broke her maiden at 2 last year by 8 1/4 lengths, first time out. Went 7 furlongs and won 22 and 3 that day. Ran second in the Grade 2 Natalma. Came back to take the Grade 3 Mazarine. And then finished a closing second in the Princess Elizabeth Stakes. Celine was a second start this year. She's earned a tidy $273,829 now. Ghost Zephyr is also the sire of the 2016 stakes winner, Paula Silver Lining, winner of the Grade 3 Distaff and of over $518,000. She's favored in a stakes race today. She's got 5 more that have placed stakes in this year, and 4 of the 5 won stakes last year. Ghost Zephyr is one of but 2 stallions that stood in North America to sire 15 or more winners of for 5 consecutive years, and a remarkable 20% of his starters have won a place in 6. And that's why his 2-year-olds have sold for up to $720,000 this year. Winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, elected to the Hall of Fame, and a son of awesome again, Go Sapper, stands for $60,000 payable when the full stands of nurses at Adena Springs. Call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798 and see the website at AdenaStallions.com.
Hear this. Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Well, included the sire of 4 stakes winners already this year. The most recent, Miss Inclusive, winner of the $100,000 Parks Oaks. Year after year, he has sent a steady procession of hard-hitting stakes winners to the races. Among them, 10 Grade 1 winners. Miss Inclusive is a $75,000 graduate of the OBS April sale. She's posted 2 consecutive wins, has never been off the board in 6 starts, and she gets better with every start. Getting back to his 10 Grade 1 stakes winners, it includes Betty, won the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose last year. Panty Raid earned the over $1 million. Include Me Out, nearly $1 million. Her Smile won the Grade 1 Prowess, among other stakes. Clash included the Grade 1 Oak Leaf Breeders' Cup and some other stakes. She We can go on because Include sires runners that compete at the highest level. A grade one winner himself, Include stands for $10,000 live foal with Mr. and Mrs. Berg and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Watch for the Include yearlings at the 2016 sales and check the website at airdriestud.com and keep in mind, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. Well, let's see. I'll tell you what I can do right now. I can give you the Kentucky Bred Breeders of Stakes winners to start this second hour. At last weekend, and also yesterday. So here they are. The Grade 2 Ruffian at Belmont went to Cavorting. And here comes Mike. Cameron, Mike, sit down. I'll do this later. You picked the Derby winner.
Yep, I was hot on that horse. I think he's the best horse in the race, and I have no reason to get off of him today.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it looks like the horse to beat. Of course, I tried to beat him with Exaggerator last in the Derby, mm-hmm. and he ran a good race.
He sure did. He really wasn't getting to him because I thought Nike was won so easily that he really didn't have to stick and drive any on him. And, of course, Exaggerator was. They were coming after him hard, but he really wasn't getting to him, just gaining a little. I think if he'd have smooched to him, the horse would have gone on and won easier.
Do you think so?
I really do. In fact, yeah. I think a lot of people are going to bet Exaggerator today simply because of the fact it's a sloppy track.
Yeah.
But I think Nyquist is so good that he doesn't have to carry a track with him. I don't think it matters, and it's going to be sloppy.
Yeah.
We had Dick Girardi, you know, of the on the show the other night from Daily Racing Form, and he says they're expecting, he talked to the weatherman, 2 inches of rain up there.
Oh,
today.
My God.
So it's going to be a sloppy track, and a lot of people will bet Exaggerator because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was his best race, I guess. It was the Santa Anita Derby in the slop, and then he'd won in the slop and another stakes prior to that. Of course, the other horse,
Nyquist.
Nyquist has beaten him 4 times.
That's what Redman, the owner of Nyquist, said. They asked him, they said, well, he said, looks like Exaggerator's going to come after you again. And he said, you'd think they'd be getting tired of that, wouldn't you?
Maybe he wants to see what his head looks like.
I guess.
He knows they're pretty familiar with the other end.
Yeah. But I really think that it's going to be an interesting race. There are 8 new horses in there, which didn't run in the Derby. And everybody is kind of touting this Stradivari, who ran the big race at Keeneland, got a 100 buyer figure, won by 14 in an entry-level allowance. But
that's Baffert's horse, isn't it?
No, that's no. No, Baffert's horse is collected. He won the Lexington.
Right.
Who trains that horse? Oh, Todd Pletcher. That's Pletcher's horse. He's the bottom horse on the form. But he's only had 3 races, and he's never hooked.
Whoop. Thank you.
He's never hooked stakes company yet. And so, you know, you do have that inexperience factor.
Yeah, Mr. John Gunther bred him. Medaglia d'Oro. He's got a nice pedigree.
Yeah.
He's 8-1. They've got 3-1 on, is that right? Awesome? No, Exaggerator's 3-1. Awesome Speed is 30-1. And, of course, 3-5 on the big horse.
Yeah.
He reminds me a little bit of American Pharoah in his temperament.
Yeah, I read a story.
That's a real plus.
Yeah, just this morning that Doug O'Neill and the Connections all say that they are just feeling so good about the way he's coming into this race. His attitude is perfect. He just knows exactly what's going on. I really do believe, unless barring, I won't say disaster, but bad luck, I just don't think they can beat him.
Oh, here comes Don Combs.
Combs, now he knows what's going on.
Yeah, he's about like me. He's just another old
hard boot.
Yeah, another old. Well, he is. We're both hard boots.
Yeah, we're all hard boots.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that worries me a little bit is he's with Nyquist. He's got a speed horse. He's got the 3-hole. And a speed in the 2-hole and speed in the 4-hole. He's got speed on both sides.
He does.
So I'm just, whole lot's going to depend in maybe the first 8th of a mile there.
And how he gets out of the gate. But, you know, that's why he's undefeated. He hadn't had any of those things happen to him yet. He gets out of the gate and goes, and I think he'll lay behind that speed if he gets away good. And that should put him in a position. Everybody's calling me. That's what's. I've got tours coming out here at the Thoroughbred Center. Oh, is what it is. Yeah,
Mike does the tours out here. Yeah. Most of that. Yeah.
And anyway, the I think that he's going to get away well, and I think he can run in a stalking manner.
Well, he does,
and he does. Yeah.
Yeah, he did in the Derby.
And I think if he can even be as much as 7 or 8 behind him, if there's a bunch of speed that goes.
Well, there is a bunch of speed in the race, contrary to the Derby.
Contrary to the Derby, he really didn't have that much in there, but that's why he laid pretty close. I'd guess he was no more than 4 off of it in the Derby at any time.
I doubt if he was that far off of it.
Maybe not.
It was, you know, 3-4 lengths. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
It's going to be a fun race.
Yeah, it always is, and I kind of hope he wins it because it'll make the Belmont more exciting.
Absolutely.
Good for racing.
It's good for racing, and you're right. When the Belmont doesn't have a horse going for the Triple Crown, most people don't watch it, and yet it is one of my favorite races. I love that mile and a half to see the horses that can do it. And but if nobody's going for the Triple Crown, people just don't tune in. And by the way, did you see where the Derby had this huge audience? They drew more than the NBA, any of the NBA playoffs, more than the World Series. They had a great rating during the Derby. This past Saturday. And I guess that's an effect of American Pharoah.
Well, yeah, that happened to help me. So this, if we could get 2 of them in a row, it would be...
I think it would interest people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's right. All right, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
Where's Charlie today?
I don't know. He's, what is it?
Charlie McDaniel.
MIA.
MIA?
Yeah. You know, well, I'll say this. I don't mind saying it. He enjoys bourbon.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Well, he's a wild turkey man.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a wild turkey to me, but
yeah, so maybe that's what he did last night. He got cozy with wild turkey.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that happens, I guess.
You're not going to have him on, are you, Don Combs?
Yeah, he's going to come over here. I got a couple of questions I want to ask him in a minute.
There go your ratings.
Yeah. No, they started that way.
Thank you, Ursel.
All right. Thank you. Come over here, Don. This is Don Combs. I got to ask him something. This is a man. He won the Bluegrass and he won the Kentucky Derby, but I've got a question because I can't remember. Did you run in the Preakness?
Yes.
And?
Also ran.
Also ran.
Okay. Also ran in the Preakness.
Okay. All right.
No, he ran well. He had a little problem that happened in the Derby, came back with a little sprain, just a little pressure on one leg that wasn't serious, but I had to miss about 8 days, and he probably shouldn't have run in the Preakness. But,
yeah.
But anyway, it wasn't long after that I resigned.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why he didn't run. If I could have waited for the Belmont, I think I could have won the Belmont.
Yeah.
But that Preakness, you know, he was still third at the 8th pole, but he had a...
You didn't want to run him?
Not really, no.
And that's why you resigned?
No.
Man of integrity.
No, that's not... No, just because we just didn't agree on something. I love the people. I mean, they were nice to me. They were good people. It's just that I was young and probably foolish and just have my own mind about things, how to train horses. So probably I've learned a lot since then. I'm still learning. It's a tough business.
Yeah.
But anyway, I probably shouldn't have run him since what happened. We iced him and did this. And we had him in good shape. I mean, he was fine. But also, I didn't want to ship him up there on a van and rattling around. But, it, you know, that's just part of it. You know, I didn't want to have to go on that long ride and have to jarring on those old legs and things. You know, I just said, if I go run him, I want to get him up there fast.
Who took him after you?
He went to the farm.
Oh, okay.
Then Ike Maurer.
Oh, okay.
Ike Maurer came. Mm-hmm. He was. They had him at one of the farms, mainly in Florida, and he came back and took over. Ike did.
Yeah.
He's a good man. You know, he had a brother that trained, too. And then later on, I think, then that's when one of the guys that was working for him was a groom or something. He started training because Ike was like 80 years old or something at the time. He was an older fellow.
Did the horse do much after?
No. No, didn't do anything after that. He won one more race somewhere the next year, a last race at Churchill Downs, and that was all.
Yeah. But then he went stud.
Then he went to stud. Then they sold him. He had three crops, and they were good. He had a Preakness winner in the first crop. Then Run Dusty Run was in the next one, and he was in all the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont behind Seattle Slough. Mm-hmm. And so he hit three crops, and I think he stood for $2,500, and they bred anybody want to breed to him just about, you know. And he was a good little stud horse.
Yeah.
And he produced they could all really run, mm-hmm. and they sold him to Japan. Yeah. And he's over there for 9 years, and I think they sold him for, as I remember, if this is correct, for like $500,000. They bought him. Then about 9 years later, John Gaines bought him back. He paid $5 million and brought him back. But he never did much after that. He'd lost an eye, and you know, he was a tough little horse anyway, and hard to manage. You had to know him. You know, you had to get to know him. And so he was, but he didn't do much here after he came back. I went to see him a time or two, but he didn't do much.
Yeah.
Huh. He was a stud then.
You never
bred him. He started out really well.
You never bred a mare to him? You weren't breed. You didn't have mares at that time.
No, I didn't.
You got mares now.
I gave my last one away last year. I lost a foal that I just loved, and I was so disappointed. And I put all that money, and it waited three months to get something happen, and she died, and we couldn't save her. And so I said, I gave her to a friend of mine. Nice mare, but nice mare. Everything she's had can run a little bit, but I've had just a lot of bad luck, and I've had several mares before in the past, but I didn't have anything to breed. Now, Warbucks, I had a horse. I had a Warbucks.
Where was he standing?
He was stood in Arkansas. Okay. The people bought him down in Arkansas.
And you say you had a mare down there you bred?
Well, no, I bought a foal of his.
Oh.
Out of sale, yeah. Okay. And I just loved her. She did really well until she ran into a fence and broke her leg up before she ever ran out at, she was at the training track at Santa Anita.
Yeah.
And she was galloping, and I don't know what happened, and the boy, and she ran to the outside, and he broke his leg and the horse's leg.
Oh my God.
I don't know what in the world happened. I wasn't there that day. I was at the races someplace, I guess. But anyway, I had a good boy work for me. He was a good rider, he was a old show rider, and he worked for me for a long time.
Yeah.
But broke her leg, had to put her down, so I never got to run her. It's the only one I ever had. And then he broke his leg in a field. He was running, he was sound. He went home completely 100% sound. I never had any problems with him. He raced to about five or six, I guess 6 years old. And, you know, I was still winning stakes with him at five. He won 18 races. So,
wow.
But the only race he really ran badly was the Derby. And that was 1973. And I don't know if you remember who won the Derby in 1973 or not. You remember who won that Derby?
I'd have to look it up. My memory's gone south.
Yeah, but
if it wasn't Secretariat,
catching Secretariat wasn't the best thing he could have done. And Hartack rode him, and Hartack won't pursue anything. It's not going to look like it'll be there. So he didn't run that great in that race. But in the Bluegrass, he really should have won the Bluegrass. He finished third, but he got blocked in, got in a pin, then didn't get out to the eighth pole. But he finished third in the Bluegrass.
And who's on him that way?
Hartack.
Oh, okay.
I had another rider on him, and he blew the race. He'd won several races. My exercise rider actually was riding him. He used to just gallop for me, and I let him ride Warbucks, and he won four or five in a row on him. So I couldn't take him off for the Arkansas Derby, but believe me, he must have, I don't, that big race just went, I don't know where he went. He just lost his mind.
Yeah.
We were, he was a horse that come from off the pace. He won races from 4.5 to mile and eighth, no problem. And we were in the Arkansas Derby, and he'd won all those stakes coming up, beating all those horses down there in Arkansas. And Marty was on him, and at the three-quarter pole, we were 12 lengths off the lead, and Shecky Green, a horse called Pleasure
Castle, was fast.
And Pleasure Castle belonged to Dan Lester. They were too fast. They were making it out there on the end. Who do you think passed him at the 3/8 pole? Warbucks passed him on the outside, two speed horses, and we just barely got beat. But, you know, he should have sat there till about the 5/16 pole. That's where he made his move. You know, he started moving to 5/8 pole when he was flying. Nice horse. He was not loved to be around. Loved that horse.
We were talking about Hartack a little bit earlier in the show. Did you get along with him okay?
I loved Hartack. Billy, I liked Bill a lot. Yeah, we were good
friends. You never called him Willie, did you?
No, I never did call him. Really. No, my last time I saw him, I was out in California. I've raised him. He's living over in, I forget that little area over there where I am from. I had a horse that turned out over there. Some little areas were about a few miles from Santa Anita, and Bill was over there. And that's the last time I saw him. He was used to hunt. You know, he loved to hunt. You know, he was a big hunter.
Oh,
he
I liked know that.
To do, yeah. So, but well, down in Arkansas one year, he and like I say, he and Marty Free were really good friends. They were really good friends, and I thought a lot of both of them. And like I say, but I just that killed me, and that you know they just killed me yeah. losing that Arkansas Derby. Yeah. And I came back next year with him and won the Oakland and won the handicap.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I won the Oakland handicap, and I think Danny Gargan was on him.
Is that right?
Yeah. but that was fun time. Those were fun uh-huh. horses I had.
He rode it when I was down at Gulfstream Park with Dixiana with Jack Hodgins, and he rode some races for him down there.
Good little rider.
Yeah, he just kind of ignored instructions that day, though. Rode two horses and
didn't get it all straight.
Well, I don't, he was kind of set in his ways, you know.
Yeah. There were a lot of more.
Yeah. Yeah, no two ways about it. Well, who do you like in the Preakness?
Well, you know, I don't know. I heard you and Mike talking about him. He, you know, he hadn't done anything wrong yet, and he's won. He can do anything. He can go to front. He can lay off the pace, and he had the most beautiful trip I've ever seen in a Derby. I mean, he couldn't have had a better trip. And the horse who ran second had a horrible trip, so I don't know what that means. And they say the exaggerators, they say he really likes it off track pretty well. Of course, the other one there, I don't guess has ever run on one, but he's
the exaggerator has.
Yeah, exaggerator has. but Nyquist hasn't. And, you know, like I say, he's done everything you can ask him to do. He's done it very well. So I don't know. I thought maybe he might have gotten a little tired at the end of the Derby, but I might be wrong. But he laid right off of a very fast pace.
You're the second person that said that he looked like he got a little tired at the end of the Derby.
It looked like he was just a little tired because that horse was getting to him awfully quickly. Yeah. But you know, he laid close to that fast pace. There was one horse in there had a lot of pace, but he wasn't going anywhere, but he had just enough to run fast, and he laid right off of him. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, the turns up at Pimlico are pretty sharp, and you know you got to stay in there. You got to get a good position, stay in there, because those turns will get you, especially that first one going those turns that's really sharp. I think that's what hurt me when I ran in. We were outside, and it didn't help us any. But
I bumped into Johnny Ward at lunch the other day. We were having lunch at the Bourbon Barrel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Paris, and we got to talk about it. And he said he thought the horse was tired.
I thought he looked a little tired to me.
I didn't see it, but could be. Yeah. I thought maybe that it was he did let up, but I thought that the
jockey might have just saved him a little bit.
Yeah,
and that's possible too. That's possible. Yeah, it's possible. It could be that. You know, you never know. And that's he's a good, smart rider, so he could have been that.
Well, I shouldn't argue with you and Johnny Ward. You're both Saddle Derby winners.
Yes.
I was lucky to win one at Riverdance when I trained.
Well, I won my first stake at Riverdance. So
did you?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Speedball Handicap.
Only way I could win a stake was to sell them.
Well, it was a biggie. It was $5,000 stake, so that was a goodie.
Well, we're talking about ancient history now.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's a $50,000 stake now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Who was that just pulled in?
Proctor, I think.
Huh?
Dr. Proctor.
Oh, it was a Dr. Walridge?
Oh, Proctor.
Oh, Dr. Proctor. Okay.
I haven't seen Dr. Proctor lately.
He comes by here and sits down and shoots the bull every now and
then. Does he? Yeah. Well, he'd know a lot about to talk about. He knows lots.
He's been around a while. He had his daddy before him.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm running late. I got to catch up here. All right. Well, the first foal is by Trap Shot, raced at two last year, and he's our 21st crop winners. Three have earned black type. My man Sam ran a bang up second in the Grade One Bluegrass at Keeneland. He ran out of luck in the Derby, was checked sharply, but you're going to be hearing more from that colt. Fish Trap Road is placed in stakes at Belmont, and Calabaca takes place at Aqueduct, and Trap Shot siring solid winners at the major tracks. He sired four of them, one at Belmont, six at Gulfstream, three at Aqueduct, two at Churchill, Santa Anita, Oaklawn, Keeneland, two of them at law. They're winning, and they're winning wherever they're asked to run. Trap Shot was a runner himself, a graded stakes winner, and grade one place son of the champion, Sire Tappet. And he's a half-brother to the grade one winner, Miss Shop. There are eight stakes winners under his first dam. Running family. Trap Shot at Claiborne Farm. For more on the Claiborne Stallions, call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Talk about my good friend Hill Parker. He and his lovely bride Reagan have been in the real estate business now for, well, over a dozen years. And, you know, real horse people, they are, and they're helping real horse people. If you're looking for a farm, well, they've got an outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices listed on their website right now. I'll give you that website here in just a minute. They'll help you find the perfect farm just for you, and they'll keep going until they do find one. And they're great people to, if you want to list your farm for sale, because they work real hard for you, they're great people to do business with, and you can trust them, and they do it the right way. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Of course, Hill's a trainer himself, A-level pony clubber. That's where most of our Olympic riders come from. And right now, like I say, he's got listings at Fayette, at Bourbon, and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Great variety of licenses of locations and sizes and prices and so forth. They've got couple of nice places over there close up on Bourbon County. In Bourbon County, there's 106 acres over there. It's our farm has never been offered for sale in over 70 years or longer. And it's beautiful land, lays level, loads of road frontage. You got barn, pond, city water. And it's been well taken care of for years. It's got a three-bedroom home on it. Could be easily be converted into a horse farm. Just about, like I said, 106 acres, gorgeous land, and it's in Bourbon County where the taxes are lower. So why don't you call Hill or Reagan? Let me give you the number, 859-608-8039. And their website is LexHorseFarms.com. LexHorseFarms.com. Anybody looking for a judge, one just walk in the door. Get Stormy broke his maiden as a 2-year-old in New York, then went on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5. He is the leading money winner. He sired over $1,600,000, among the more than 100 stakes winners sired by Stormcat's highly successful son, Stormy Atlantic. Among Get Stormy's 9 stakes winners were grade 1 stakes at Keeneland, grade 1 stakes at Keeneland, grade 1 stakes at Churchill, grade 1 stakes at Gulfstream Park. All told, he won 9 stakes from his front-running catch, Meek If You Can style of running. And if you haven't taken the time to take a look at this horse, why don't you do it? Because he looks every part of the runner. Flashy horse, good-looking horse. The first foals by Get Stormy are 2-year-olds, and his first starter placed in a maiden special at Keeneland. Good indication there. Get Stormy stands for $5,000, doing a full stand to nurses. And if you have a late-season mare, give him a call. Call Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm at 859-252-3770 and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
It's raining again out there.
Surely not.
How about that? Yeah.
Is it really?
Paul came in. It was Paul Isaacs, Judge Paul Isaacs.
Oh, that's who that was?
Yeah, just came in here. And
the car was still running. He's coming around. You want to see him? He just driving around.
All right. He wouldn't want to come on the show anyway, Paul. If might be somebody to listen to him, he's put in jail.
I didn't.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He likes to piddle around. Well, he's got one out here now. I forget who he's got it with now, but he could.
That must have been his trainer with him or something. They came in and got some condition books.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Got two or three. He's glad to have those, I guess.
You know, Paul, he lets the trainer call the shots.
Well, that's great. That's good. That's unusual.
That's a plus, isn't it? Unusual. Oh, gosh. Okay. Did you ever get a hold of Moody?
Yeah, okay.
All right. I'll get out of here. I just, unless you got any more questions or anything I can tell you or lighten you with.
Well, you're picking Nyquist and you and the rest of the crowd.
Well, you know,
how can you pick against him?
I don't
really
know how you can pick. If somebody if he gets beaten, I think it'd be the other horse that ran second in the Derby.
Exaggerator. Yeah.
But, of course, you know, we're going up a 16th of a mile shorter now, too, so, or 8th of a mile shorter. So.
No, 16th.
Is right. It 16th? Well, yeah, it's a mile and 3/8. That's right. Mile. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's
so that would be in his favor too, probably. If he did get a little tired, that would help it. But yeah. And all those tight turns would probably help too. It helps horse with speed anyway.
Yeah,
it can lay up. It can get a good position out of that gate, and he breaks well all the time. All those horses that come from California break well out of the gate.
Yeah,
they really do. They all come out of that gate running out there. When I was racing out there, I couldn't believe it. The first two or three times I ran the races, I'd be sitting back third or fourth. I said, well. You know, this looks good. I'm just sitting here. They don't stop. They just keep running. And they come out there. And I said, and then I finally figured out I'm not going to run short anymore. I'm going to start running long. I started running races long, and then I won a few races.
Yeah, there you go.
But they both
let them come back to you.
Oh, yeah. They weren't coming back to me.
That's what we always had to do with ours because they were slow. So I said, well, hell, maybe they won't get them so they won't get tired. And we did all right.
Well, that was a real quick, short story. I have a nice little filly that I think a lot of, Red Hot Susie. And she's had a couple of races that she didn't win. I thought she should have. Last time she stumbled, went to her knees coming out of the gate. And she was way behind the field and ended up getting beat 3 lengths.
Yeah.
And she had to make up a little lot of – she got beat 3 lengths in her neck. But the time before that, my rider came. He had it all figured out. He rode her first time out, and she won. And he said, well, I'll just let him get out of there and sit back and just make a run at him. Well, everything had won that day up at Indiana. They'd run on they'd been on the lead. The track was they'd running 109s and 57s. And so he took – my horse broke in front. He took a hold of her and took her back. And he got back, he said, you know, they never did come back to me. he should have let it run.
Yeah, there you go.
First thing he said, you know, I made a mistake. I should have.
Black filly I was just looking at?
Yeah. No, that one right next to her looks just like her.
Oh,
it looks just alike, about the same size. But anyway, that's what happens. Sometimes they don't come back to you, you know. Anyway, I'll see y'all later.
All right,
have
Don.
A good Preakness Day.
Yeah, it's Don Combs. Thank. Good talk to you, Don.
You're not having a party or anything, are you? Is your house? Are you having a party?
No, I may drink a beer. Oh, is that okay?
All right, that'll be all right. All right, see y'all. Bye.
All right, well, you ready to get Steve Moody on? Okay, well, the breeding season's winding down, but if you have a late-season mare and you're looking for a proven sire grade one winner standing for a reasonable stud fee, you got two to choose from over at Judmont Farm, First Defense and Mizamass. First Defense is sired an Eclipse Award winner, Two Millionaires, both incidentally from his first crop. And he has sent a steady procession of hard-hitting stakes winners to the races in every crop to race a full season since. Stands for $7,500 live foal and has a great pedigree, a grade one winner himself. First Defense, bound bridal song out of the grade one winner, Honest Lady. She's a half-sister by Seattle Slough to the top sire Empire Maker. First Defense stands for $7,500 live foal. Mizamass, also a grade one winner, has sired 8 grade one winners, the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races, a champion 2-year-old, and a classic winner. And he has a pedigree that offers a great outcross to Mr. Prospector, Stormcat, and Bull Ruler Lion Mares. He's sired 7 stakes winners already this year, Mizamass. $12,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett Rourke or Aaron Fried, 859-272-7629. See the website at judmont.com. Well, in stakes last weekend, the Grade 2 Ruffian at Belmont was won by Cavorting, bred by Swettenham Stud and raised on products of McCauley Brothers at Creekview Farm. That's a division of Ashford Stud. Also, Monmouth Park's Decathlon Stakes winner, AP Indian, and undefeated Barkley. He's 4-for-4 now. Winner of the Auburn Stakes at Emerald Downs were raised on McCauley products. AP Indian was raised at Golden Age Farm for breeder Green Lantern Stables and Barkley at Candy Meadows Farm. Congratulations to all from the friends at McCauley Brothers. That's the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse, a practice that's continued to this day. By my count now, horses raised on McCauley products have won 62 stakes this year. 36 of them graded stakes. Raise them the right way on a farm, and that gives them the best chance of success at the races. And the right way is the McCauley way. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Ask about free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. See the website at McCauleyBros.com, and you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Daily racing form. What I want you to do is go to drf.com and click on breeding, and you get their breeding updates. Free breeding newsletter and daily updates. Up-to-date news in the breeding industry with sales into, you know. Also, the good stakes were placed there, top stories. You know, they have columns right now by one of my favorite writers, Jay Hovday. Also, Jay Privman, Nicole Russo. And, of course, you always get multiple sets of past performances. For decades now, the Daily Racing Form has been racing's Bible, and it still is so today. Incidentally, the Tuesday edition, you know, is you get the comprehensive stakes reports available for owners and breeders, and provides full details of all black type stakes in North America, including the pedigree and progeny reports of the female family and information on the winning sires and so forth. And why don't you go to the drf.breeding and log on today, drf.breeding update. And it's a wonderful publication. Of course, the Daily Racing Form, as I said, for years, the racing's number one bestseller.
Everyone in the horse, they're conveniently located in Lexington. And when it comes to moving your horse, you can depend that a Sally van is in tip-top condition and that the person behind the wheel is an experienced driver and an experienced horseman. And that's why, for over 60 years, the Sally van has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursel Ellis.
All righty. Well, I've got Steve Moody here with me today, and they're running, I forget the name of that stake up there today at, what is it, at Churchill Downs today. Of course, Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services, and I think it's the Churchill Downs Handicap, isn't it? Isn't that right, Steve?
It's the Louisville Handicap.
Well, hell, that's Louisville. Churchill Downs is in Louisville. What's the difference? it's a turf race, isn't it?
It is a turf race. The two stakes on the grass stayed on the turf, so they've got the turf rated good, and there is one scratch in the Louisville Handicap, and that would be the five horse Aldous Snow. So field of six, going a mile and a half on turf rated good in the Louisville Handicaps, grade three. I thought the top two were kind of hard to separate here, Ursel. I went for the bottom horse, Dynamic Sky, for Mark Cassie's barn. He's been having a heck of a year. Well, of course, won the Pimlico Special yesterday with a horse I picked 2 weeks ago that never ran a step, and poor, I picked him 2 weeks too early. So anyway, Dynamic Sky, he's never won it a mile and a half, but he's never been off the board there either five times, and he's been either second or third every time. And I think he's going to be laying in a pretty good spot here, just off the pace. Channing Hill has got the mount for Mark Cassie, and I think he'll look for him to make his run when they turn for home and the second time, and get up to win this one. The two, Roman Approval, is proven at the longer distances. Probably in too tough last time in the Mervyn Muniz, down at the fairgrounds, but, looks to be, in a good spot here. He's from Mike Maker's barn. Robbie Alvarado has got the mount, coming back. Been off about 8 weeks since the Muniz. So, I think he'll be ready to go today. A little bit of a price horse, of three, Bullard's Alley. A little tired, a little bit late. The only time that he ran, kind of a marathon. I think he'll move forward. He's coming, they're bringing him right back after 9 days. Tim Glashaw, the trainer, and I think he could give a better effort today and maybe get part of it at a decent price. So, again, I thought the top two were hard to separate, the two favorites. I'll go with the 7 Dynamic Sky, 7-2-3 in the Louisville Handicap.
7-2-3 in the Louisville Handicap. Well, I know you never pick a favorite. Who are you picking to beat Nyquist today?
Well, just only because, you know, the weather forecast is not good up there. I just, you know, Exaggerator moves up so well, so much off of, on an off surface. So I'm picking Exaggerator. I took him on top, with then, of course, the favorite Nyquist, second. And, let's see, third was, the Pletcher horse, Stradivari.
Okay. Horse on the outside.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he's an unknown quantity, so I can't see much else that, with a shot.
You know, Baffert's horse, I'm thinking could maybe get part of it. I just didn't think his win in the Lexington was all that, sterling to me, but, he's the only other one that, you know, I could really, see in there. Like you said, Stradivari is an unknown. He's won two races about as easy as you could win them. But, of course, Pletcher, I think I saw a stat, Pletcher's record in the first two legs, the Triple Crown, is something like 1-53.
Oh.
Something like that. It's, it makes you sort of step back and say, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
So it'd be hard to, you know, if the horse were favored, you'd say there's no way, but he is 8-1. I don't know if he'll be 8-1, but, might be because they're going to pound the top two, Nyquist and Exaggerator, pretty good.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Thank you very much. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicap for Sheep. And, you can go to, brisnet.com, BRISNET.com, and pick up your copy. Thank you so much, Steve. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Ursula.
All right. Well, it's not too late to book a young sire, a winner of the Grade One Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. That is, two stakes winners in his first crop, 2-year-olds last year. Albertus Maximus has done just that. And he stands free to approve mares over at Shadwell Farm. Or you may also breed to De Hare, a Grade One winner with a great pedigree that has sent a steady procession of stakes horses to the races, starting with his first crop and extending right up into 2016. He's never missed. In fact, an astonishing 13% of his foals, now that's 13% of his foals, not starters, won a place in stakes. 17% of his starters have earned black type. De Hare won Grade One stakes. He's by the elite sire Awesome Again. He's out of the stakes winner Iris Cherry. She's the dam of two Grade One stakes winners, both by Awesome Again, De Hare, and his full sister, Spun Sugar. Albertus Maximus is, in addition to winning the $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, won the Grade One Don handicap with a half a million. He won the Windy Sands handicap, the latter in track record time at Del Mar, and he earned over $1,328,000. Why don't you call Ken Barnes at Shadwell Farm? 859-224-4585. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigrees for more than 2 million foals? Then brisnet.com's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand, go to brisnet.com/APR. Optimized for tablet and mobile, brisnet.com's APR online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on nearly every North American thoroughbred dating back more than a century. Race records, public auction prices, pedigree statistics, and more, all included for $275 per year. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR online.
Well, first crop 2-year-olds by Gemologist with the talk of the sales in Florida this year. He was a sire of youngsters that sold for up to $550,000. 8 went for $100,000 or more. Gemologist stands for $15,000, doing a full stands a nurse. He stands at Windstar Farm. He was a top flight 2-year-old. In fact, he won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes, and he was an undefeated at 2. Then he came back to take the Grade 1 Wood as a 3-year-old. Gemologist is the son of the great sire Tisnow. who stands his stud career, who started his stud career, I should say, as a number one ranked freshman sire. And he's one of three stakes winners out of a daughter of Mr. Prospector. Another young first crop sire Windstar Farm is Bodemeister. He has already served notice that he's going to sire runners. Bodie's Dream, a first-time starter and a $300,000 Keeneland September sales grab, won first time out of Gulfstream. He was a 1-5 favorite, and he ran like it. Won by 3 3/4 lengths after getting the first half mile in an eye-popping 44-4, and then it coasted in. Bodemeister, the number one freshman sales sire last year, is a grade one winner by Empire Mercury. He's had a graded stakes winner, Untouched Talent by Stormcat. For more on the Windstar Stallions, call Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, Carolyn Walsh at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. I started to give you these earlier, and people started showing up here. So here are the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last week and from yesterday, as far as that goes. The Grade 2 Ruffian was won by Bernadine. This is brought to you by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, my good friend Chauncey Morris. Cavorting by Bernadini, bred by Swettenham Stud. The Grade 2 Peter Pan winner, Unified by Candy Ride, bred by Blue Devil Racing Stables. The Grade 3 Bogey at Belmont, Strike Charmer by Smart Strike, bred by Cortland Farm. The, Grade 3 Marine Stakes, That Look on Your Face won that by Summer Bird, bred by Sun Valley Farm. The Auburn Handicap at Emerald Downs winner, Munnings, side the winner, Barkley, bred by Candy Meadows. The Unbridled Sydney Stakes at Churchill Downs won Acapulco by Scat Daddy, bred by Dr. Charles Giles. The Singletary Stakes at Santa Anita went to Arcatur. He's from the first crop by Arch, bred by Phil Hunter and Claire Hager from up here the road here on Idlehour Farm. The Decathlon Stakes at Monmouth Park went to AP Indian by Indian Charlie, bred by Green Lantern Stables. The Las Barrera Stakes at Santa Anita, I Will Score, by Roman Ruler, bred by Hans Poach. The Angel's Flight Stakes was won by Bellamy Terry. That's the fourth three-year-old filly by Bellamy Rowe to win stakes this year. And she's this one bred by Charles T. Matsis. The Grade 2, what the hell is it? Oh, the Black-Eyed Susan yesterday. Go, Maggie, go on that. She's a ghost zapper, bred by Mike Tarp. The Grade 3 Pimlico Special winner, Noble Bird, was by Birdstone, bred by Jack Swain. The Grade 3 Adina Springs Miss Preakness Stakes winner, Lost Raven. Another Uncle Mo, three-year-old filly bred by Ripoli Stables. Of course, she's won graded stakes before. She's won 13 stakes winners from the first crop by Uncle Mo. What did she win last? That just so happens. That my grubby little fist. She won the Miss Preakness yesterday. She came in off a win in the Cicada Stakes, and as a two-year-old, she won the Smart Halo Stakes. So that's the third stakes win for this Uncle Mo filly. Let's see. The Alaire DuPont Distaff Stakes at Pimlico winner, Ah Chocolate. A Candy Ride bred by Stone Way Farm. Oh, well, Acatura winner last Saturday of the Singletary Stakes out at Santa Anita is the third stakes winner, seven stakes horse from the first crop by Arch. He signed runners. So's Patio Prado, sire of Ed Johnson. Winner Sunday, the Alcatraz Stakes at Golden Gate. Patio Prado has sired six stakes horses, two stakes winners in his first crop. It's noteworthy that both Arch, winner of the nine furlong Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, and Patio Prado, winner of the Grade 1 Stakes going 10 furlongs, placed in the Kentucky Derby, both excel going long. So the fact that his first crop two-year-olds and now three-year-olds are running bodes well for the future. Among Arch's seven stakes horses is the graded stakes winner Tools on Ice. He is also placed in Grade 1 stakes. A stakes winner Go No Go and Next Shares is run second in graded stakes at Saratoga. Patio Prado is also the sire of Fairground stakes winner Above Fashion. Cherry Wine, placed in the Grade 1 Bluegrass stakes, goes in the, got the pole today in the Preakness. Sutton Smile, placed in the Grade 1 Starlet Stakes, are among his 30 winners, six stakes horses from his first crop. Arch Arch Arch, a Grade 1 winner by Arch, and Patty's El Prado, a Grade 1 winner by El Prado, both stand at Spendthrift Farm. We've got a late season Miracle, Dez Dempsey, Brian Lyle, and Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. And ask about breeding incentives and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursulele.
All right, no Jackie today, so I've got a couple of announcements I got to make as per things going on. And of course, you know that the Thoroughbred Center out here supplies fence materials now. And you can get treated posts and planks and everything right here. They price them right. And not only will they sell them to you, if they would like, they'll put them up for you. And they paint them, too, as far as that goes, because I brought some planks from them earlier to do some repairs on my little place over in Bourbon County. And I had them come down and paint everything. And I tell you what, they put it on so thick it's holding the fences up. It's wonderful. They do a wonderful job for you. It's the Thoroughbred Center. Just give them a call over there. And call Jim Pendergrass. Just pester him a little bit. 293-1863. And, of course, they also give tours out here at the training center. Guided tours as of right now, Monday through Saturday at 9 o'clock, April the 1st through October the 31st. That includes right now, isn't it? It's for an adults. It's just $15 a person, and children for $8. So there you go. And it's they give you a really nice tour. High Hope Steeplechase is tomorrow. By golly, I hope that dries out a little bit for them out there. And anyway, the gates open at 11 o'clock. And the post time for the first race at the High Hope tomorrow is 1:30. They all. A lot of fun if you want to go to that. Let's see. The Hollow Creek Farm Grand Prix is part of the Kentucky Spring Classic and is scheduled to take place at the Rolex Stadium at Kentucky Horse Park on Saturday, May the 21st. That's today. Better get out there. let's see. What else we're doing here? Okay, Tobo is giving a breeding clinic on June the 3rd and 5th right here in Lexington. If you want to register for it, it's go to www.toba.org and register. Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, that's TOBA. And it's a breeding clinic and right here in Lexington, so it's worthwhile going. How much time I got? 5 minutes. All righty. Let's see, what else have I got here? Jack, you want me to say something about tomorrow, the Sheep and Fiber Festival out at the horse park. I should have passed on that one. Those are the important ones anyway, so I'm about to run out of time. Let me give you the winners from here. We've had 22 winners so far this month, 22 winners in 20 days, and these are the trainers of said winners. Alan Crupper, Adolfo Marcias, Eduardo Caramori, Chuck Peary, Luis Serrato, Paul Garcia, Jeff McKay-Hee, Matt Frazier, of course, Matt trains quarter horses out here, so he won a quarter horse race up in Indiana. Jim Rankin, good old Bourbon County boy. Luis Serrato had another one. Eduardo Caramari had another one. Larry Lay, Bobby Sturgeon, and Matt Frazier had his second quarter horse win, and that's pretty nice for Matt. Good luck to him. John Gaver. Well, that's a name, isn't it? The old Green Tree Trainers. It's a third generation trainer that I know of named John Gaver. And he trains here at the Thoroughbred Center. Nice young man, too. Had him on the show. I'd like to get him back on the show. Got a great training pedigree, I'll tell you that. Tommy Short, saddle winner at Mountaineer, Juan Ruvalcaba, Tanya Lobsiger, and then Eduardo Caramori won another one. That was yesterday. At Indiana Downs. So good luck to everybody out here, and maybe we'll get you on the air next week. Let's see, what else was I going to do? I got 3 minutes. I see, you know, the first Triple Crown winner. I was going to do something on a little old Man of War, but I can't because he made his first start as a 3-year-old in the Preakness. Of course, they ran the Preakness 11 times before the Derby. On 11 different occasions. The last occasion was in 1931 when a mate won the Preakness and then shipped to Kentucky for the Derby, where he ran third to 20 grand and Sweet Paul. Anyway, but Sir Barton was the first Triple Crown winner. And, of course, I didn't check, but I think maybe it was run after that. I think they ran the Derby before the Preakness that year. Of course, Sir Barton bred by John Madden in partnership with Vivian Gooch, who was a trainer. And Madden had given half interest in the horse in the foal. Lady Sterling was carrying when he visited Hamburg Place in 1917. And then when Sir Barton was a weanling, he liked him so much he bought out Mr. Gooch's interest. Of course, the horse went on. He went six times without winning as a two-year-old, but he came back after Madden had sold him for $10,000 to Commander John Ross, who was from Canada. And he was trained thereafter by Guy Bedwell, who was a famous trainer at that time. Three-year-old, he won eight of his 13 starts, and he was never worse than third. Won the Kentucky Derby, beating Billy Kelly, who Billy Kelly was also owned, incidentally, by the owner of Sir Barton, same owner. And Johnny Loftus rode him. That was Sir Barton's first win, incidentally, when he won the Kentucky Derby with Loftus aboard. Then he won the Preakness over Eternal. He won the Withers, again beating Eternal, had his number, didn't he? And he went on and he was eased up and had a set a new American record for going a mile and three-eighths in the Belmont Stakes. The Belmont was running a mile and three-eighths at that time. And also when Man of War ran it, it was at a mile and three-eighths. But anyway, that was Sir Barton's Preakness win and, of course, first Triple Crown winner. And that was in 1919. Right, yeah. All righty, well, my man over here says it's time to bail out. And, Jackie, we missed you this morning, and we'll be home shortly, and we will talk to you next week.